We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. willpledge.org. Now here's your program.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 30th day of September 2009. Happy birthday to my brother Bill. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois. And later in this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Matt Blaisdell of the Anderson's Climbers Facility in Delphi, Indiana. And then we'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. Oh, and along the way, we'll discuss this morning's USDA Small Grains and Grain Stocks reports with University of Illinois Ag Economist Daryl Good. And it all happens right here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago on this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby December wheat at $4.57.5, 10 cents higher. March contract at 477, up 9 3/4, and the May at 489 1/4, 8 1/4 higher. December corn futures, $3.44, up 3. The March at 356 3/4, up 2 3/4. And the May corn at 365 3/4, up 2 3/4. July futures, 373 3/4, up 2 3/4. September contract, 381 3/4, 2.5 cents higher. November soybeans at $9.27, a dime higher. January at $9.33.5, up 11. And the March at $9.33.5, 11 cents higher. May contract at $9.28, up 10 1/4. July soybean futures, $9.29, up 10 1/4. And the August at $9.23, 11 cents higher. October bean meal at $2.88.70, up 70. October soybean oil today, $33.97, 50 cents higher. October live cattle futures, $85.60, and nickel lower. December down, or rather up 52.5 cents. At $86.12.5, the October feeders at $96.50, up 70, and the November's at $96.62.5, and the feeder cattle, 85 cents higher. October lean hog futures at $50.07.5, down 20 cents. December at $49.60, down 57.5 cents. You are listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. November crude oil futures, $70.61, up $3.90. October ethanol at $1.78 3/10, a penny and 8 cents higher. Natural gas, November contract, 2 7/10 lower at $4.84 8/10. The RBOB gasoline at $1.72.5, that's 9 7/10 higher. Heating oil or diesel fuel up 9.5 cents at $1.79 6/10. And the propane at 98 6/10 of a cent, 3 10 of a cent higher. Gold futures at this hour are trading $1,008. That is the settlement price, up $14.90 on the afternoon. And the Dow at 9,733 is just about 9 points higher. The U.S. dollar at 76.65 is down 0.47. And the CRB index on the afternoon is currently trading at 259.39 for the day. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like at this hour. A frost advisory has been issued for much of north-central and northeastern Indiana and portions of east-central Indiana from 2 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern Time on Thursday. This afternoon, or rather tonight, in the western parts of Illinois, increasing cloudiness. Elsewhere, clear to partly cloudy skies. Scattered frost is possible in northern and eastern Indiana. Lows this evening should range from 33 in northeastern Indiana to 52. In the west central parts of Illinois. Tomorrow in northern and western Illinois, mostly cloudy, showers, a few thunderstorms arriving. Elsewhere, increasing cloudiness. Highs tomorrow will range from around 60 in northwestern Illinois to 77 in the far south. The extended forecast says rain, thunderstorms will move across the two-state region tomorrow night. That followed by some scattered showers, a few isolated thunderstorms into Friday. Unsettled weather with showers will cover the region on Saturday, followed by a return to dry weather on Sunday. More with Drew Lerner at the bottom of this half hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Support for Illinois Public Media comes from Syngenta, featuring AgriSure 3000 GT hybrids, designed to give you up to 38 bushels more per acre if you have rootworms, and an average of 3 more even if you don't. More information on Syngenta's AgriSure 3000 GT hybrids is at agrisuretraits.com.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Wednesday afternoon. We always talk with Paul Cooley at ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. He's on the line with us this afternoon. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, a nice little up day in Chicago after the grain stocks and the small grains reports came out. The small grains report showed a bit more wheat on hand, especially spring wheat, than many had expected. I don't know that that had much of an impact on the marketplace. And then in the soybeans, USDA managed to find a bit more production from last year. What did you think of the reports?
I thought it was interesting in the way they came up with the final numbers. I guess the marketplace was a little bit surprised the way the USDA basically said feed usage was better in corn, and this created the number of 1,674,000,000 carryover. Soybeans at 138 million bushels. This was larger than the average trade guess of 112. They upped the acreage in Iowa and also upped the yield per acre to come up with that extra bushel yield. That was an interesting twist. And, of course, with the wheat, they came in with 81 million bushels larger, basically came in with a little bigger wheat crop, and also said feed usage was reduced. I thought it was a very interesting group of numbers. Quickly, the U.S. Gross domestic product fell, and it created a weaker dollar, and crude oil rallied on gasoline inventory. And the general reason why the dollar weakened so much is, and the concept is this, that if the economy slows down, it's going to interest rates will stay lower longer, and it's going to make it easier to sell corn, soybeans, and wheat. It also is somewhat friendly to U.S. stocks because world investors will be putting money into the U.S. stocks because they're so cheap.
What's your big broad picture thought on the economy and corn futures in particular over the next 6 months?
Well, this afternoon, somewhere between now and 3 o'clock, we will see F.C. Stone come out, and I think Informa is going to come out as well. Our general impression is that it's a bigger crop. We do know that ethanol demand is improving. We think feed usage is going to be slow at basically improving, but in time, that should work as well. Exports is a positive factor because the cheaper the corn, the dollar goes, the more competitive our corn price is, and it is a very cheap price. The trend in corn is higher. My humble opinion is that we will see a 2 to 3 bushel jump in the previous USDA production estimate.
Well,
the reason is the triple stack corn, and the early yields we're picking up in the U.S. Seem to be better, with the exception of some yields in northern Indiana.
You've got the trend in corn higher. Will an increase from USDA once they get to that crop production report on the 9th of October? That's not very far away now. Will that stop the increase or the trend going higher, that is?
Yeah, it depends on if it's only a bushel versus 2 or 3. My real opinion is that it's going to be a slow harvest. Historically, slow wet corn is bearish. Whenever the corn has to move into the elevator's hands to dry, that's also bearish. And I think also the farmers are extremely bullish. They understand and fear inflation. And I think they feel that, a year from now, prices will be higher. They'll do everything humanly possible to store as much corn and soybeans into the in the warehouses as possible. The trouble is it's extremely expensive to play that game right now.
What would you be the idea is, you said that that's a hard game to play, but would you be in favor of storing the corn?
If I had my own facilities, it wouldn't be a problem. When I'm paying commercial storage, I'd probably replace it with the ownership and in the futures market.
All right. What about beans? Are you willing to sell
the bean market? We understand the bean early bean yields are better than expected. My general impression is that the next report's going to be higher. The trend is down in soybeans. 55, 60 bushel beans times 9 is probably a place to reward the marketplace. At 850, that's a different question. I'd probably pay the storage.
Anything else to add before I let you go?
Have a profitable day, Todd.
Hey, you too. Thank you very much. That is Paul Cooley. He's with ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Happens each and every Wednesday afternoon. If you'd like to hear what Paul had to say again, you can always do that on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org.
Support for WILL comes from Stuart Peterson. Since 1985, offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks by developing dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is at stuart-peterson.com.
Listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. University of Illinois ag economist Daryl Good now joins us to take up this morning's grain stocks and small grains reports. Could you please recap those for us as we get started this afternoon, Daryl?
Well, we basically got two reports from the USDA today. The first was the September 1 grain stocks report, which for corn and soybeans represents the end of the marketing year 2008-09. The corn inventory as of September 1 estimated at 1.674 billion bushels. That was about 20 million less than expected. Soybeans at 138 million bushels. I think interestingly that was 28 million bushels larger than the USDA had forecast in its last S&D report. And then we got the small grains summary. The most interest there, I think, is in the wheat, and we did see a 37 million bushel increase in the estimated size of the 2009 wheat harvest. Almost all of that was in spring wheat, mostly in hard red spring, but also a sizable increase in durum wheat production. The estimates for many of the other classes of wheat, including soft red winter, actually went down just a smidgen, but overall a very large spring wheat crop.
A big spring wheat crop, will that keep pressure on the wheat market? And if it does, will it cap off the corn market as well?
You know, I think spring wheat obviously doesn't compete as directly with corn as soft red winter wheat in livestock rations. But just the fact that we've got a big wheat crop and wheat prices have already been under a lot of pressure, I think this is certainly going to keep that in place. It's one of the factors that will weigh on all the commodity prices to some extent. Probably not the most important factor, but anytime you have larger supplies, it affects all commodities.
If you look at the numbers, where did USDA find the extra 28 million in the soybean carryover?
Well, basically, what they did was raise the estimated size of the 2008 crop slightly, not very much, 8 million bushels. And basically what that stocks number says is that our calculated residual use of soybeans, unexplained use of soybeans, was remarkably small during the 2008-2009 marketing year. Now, that's the second year in a row that residual use has been really at a very low level. On the surface, it says that both the 2007 and the 2008 crops really appear to be even larger than the USDA is estimating at this point, that if you had residual at a more normal level, production should have been maybe 40, 50 million bushels larger than what USDA is currently estimating. So I mean, the stocks number is what it is. That's the inventory they found. They explained part of it by raising the production estimate last year, but part of it is that the residual use was small, and we take it on face value. USDA has not been inclined historically to go back and change the production numbers in years when we've had unreasonably small residual use. It just stays on the books and is a bit of an anomaly.
How often does that happen?
More often than you would think. I think it's happened three times probably in the last 5 or 6 years that you've got a number that looks pretty small on residual consumption. There's occasionally a year when residual looks very, very large, so there's some offsetting there. But if you calculate kind of a 5 or 6, 7 year average residual disappearance, we're well below that average this year.
Have any real impact in the marketplace?
You know, I think a little bit on soybeans. 28 million bushels doesn't sound like a lot, but if you put that in context of the 09 crop, on the supply side, that's equivalent to about 4/10 of a bushel per acre yield on what we expect to harvest. So it gives us a little bit of cushion that if we have some late season problems with the 09 crop, with frost or disease, that the larger stocks does provide a little bit of a cushion. It's hard to argue that 28 million is a huge factor, but at the margin, it is, I think, a bit significant. And I would also say that that larger stock estimate is not completely a surprise. We've alluded to the fact that residual use appeared to be very small several times this year as we got the quarterly grain stocks report and had hinted that USDA might be find more soybeans at the end of the year. And I think that was really borne out as the 09 harvest has been very late, yet soybean prices have sagged dramatically, even old crop prices, which was kind of telling us there's more beans out there than what the numbers would really say, because there was really not any indication that we've run out of soybeans.
Sagged, interesting term for the soybean market, but still fairly strong in comparison to the other commodities. And up front, at least, telling producers that the market would still like to have soybeans now as opposed to later.
That's right. And if you look at the bids right now, I mean, the harvest is beginning barely, but you've got for immediate delivery on soybeans, you've still got a substantial premium over what's being quoted as a harvest new crop bid. So the market, yes, is wanting soybeans. The pipeline is pretty tight, and there is still a premium on old crop beans or newly harvested, early harvested new crop soybeans. And that will all go away, obviously, once harvest really gets underway. But for the time being, there is still a pretty good premium for immediate delivery of soybeans.
Yeah, so as long as the back months and the front months are pretty close to the same, you still say sell it over the scale? And
you know, I think the market is saying there's no return to storage built into the price structure. That is, you couldn't put beans in the bin and hedge in a return to storage. So it really says that the lowest cost way to own soybeans is basically on paper at this point, that it's pretty expensive to put beans in the bin, pay storage costs, pay interest on those value of $9 soybeans. The market is saying cash them in, perhaps on a basis contract, get most of your money up front, and then price those soybeans off the deferred futures later on. Or more straightforward is just to sell beans and buy futures. Most farmers are not inclined to do that because of the margin risk, but basis contracts offer an equivalent way to do that.
On the corn side of the ledger, what are you thinking producers should be doing? There's an awful lot of confusion at this point about what to do with a crop that will come in long, late, wet, probably with some quality problems.
Well, a little bit like soybeans. Right now we are seeing a little bit of a premium if you can deliver corn right now. So if you're in that position that you've got some early harvested corn, market is probably saying go ahead and sell that. You can get a premium over what it's going to be in 3 weeks from now. But for later harvested corn, there still is a bit of a carry in the market, suggesting that we should be looking at storing this crop. Do we store it priced or unpriced? I think is the big question. I mean, you can lock in a bit of a return to storage if you forward contract it for later delivery. I think for the most part, I think farmers are going to store this crop unpriced, thinking that there is potential as we get into some economic recovery as we move through the year, that we could see some rebound in cash corn prices.
Farmers will do that. Is the right thing to do?
Well,
is the question.
Yeah, you know, I think it's always a case, how many eggs do you put in each basket? We never really suggest that we do the same thing with 100% of the crop. A lot will obviously depend on how much of the crop has been forward priced. The more that's been forward priced, I think the more risk you can take on the unpriced portion. If you've sold none of the new crop, then you say, well, you know, do I want to store 100% of the crop and risk price level on 100%? Maybe not. And so we say get some of it sold, particularly if it's harvested early. But I think right now the majority of the crop probably should be stored.
Anything else before I let you go?
I think that's about it.
All right. Thank you, Darrell. Darrell Good, University of Illinois Ag Economist. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media.
Support for Illinois Public Media comes from Syngenta, featuring AgriSure 3000 GT hybrids, designed to give you up to 38 bushels more per acre if you have rootworms, and an average of 3 more even if you don't. More information on Syngenta's AgriSure 3000 GT hybrids is at agrisuretraits.com.
You are listening to Illinois Public Media's Closing Mark Report. I'm Todd Gleason. It's a Wednesday afternoon. Matt Kunisch with the Andersons Delphi facility. It's called Climbers is joining us this afternoon there in Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Matt. Thanks for filling in.
No problem.
Tell me about movement in your area, soybeans and corn both, or just soybeans?
Not too much corn. A lot of the corn still right now testing 29-30%. We do have a little bit from the north coming in at 24%, but still I'd say less than 1% of corn is going right now. Beans have been slow to come off yesterday. We had a big day. Today is also big again with the sun popping out here finally. So that has definitely helped the flow. Really feels like guys are trying to move the beans right now, making room for the corn to store it. With the way the markets and the local basis has been around here, just everybody's moving the bean as quickly as they can to the processors.
What kind of yields and moisture rates are you taking in?
Right now, house average is right around 13%. There are some wetter beans coming in that we're drying and getting back out to the processors, but for the most part, I'd say right around 13% yields have been decent, about 10% down from last year. Last year, we had record-breaking years. We missed a few timely rains, so just 10% on average. Some of the sandier dirt, probably 15% down from last year.
You have quick shipment premiums on either corn or beans at this point?
Right now, yes, on both. For the corn, which is still looking to be 2 to 3 weeks out in most of our draw area, we are still anywhere from 10 to 15 cents better than the harvest corn. Right now, beans are anywhere for harvest at 25 under. There are still processors in the 25 over range. Most elevators are 20 cents better than the harvest bid right now, trying to get them in.
And your actual bids are?
Right now for corn here, Climbers 344, beans at 922.
Thank you much.
No problem.
That is Matt Kunisch. He's with the Andersons Climbers facility. Joins us out of their Delphi, Indiana office. Back in 2 minutes when we'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. Visit us online at willag.org.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
It's National Mulled Cider Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1861, William Wrigley Jr. was born. An American salesman and manufacturer, he started out as a traveling salesman at the age of 13, selling soap for his father's company. At age 30, he left his father's soap factory and moved to Chicago, where he began manufacturing soap and including free baking powder as an incentive. When baking powder proved more popular than soap, he switched to offering baking powder with chewing gum as an incentive. And then you guessed it, the chewing gum proved widely popular, and Wrigley's Chewing Gum was born. In 1958, pie plates being sailed around among employees at the Frisbee Baking Company at Yale University became the inspiration for the Whammo Standby. In 1962, the United Farm Workers Union was founded by Cesar Chavez. And in 2004, California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger signed into law a bill that bans the production and sale of foie gras. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. It's a Wednesday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason. Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City is on the line to help us take up the agricultural weather forecast. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Farmers across the Midwest will start in earnest this week on the harvest. What kind of conditions will they be working or not working under?
Well, it does look like it's going to be a little bit difficult to get out there and work some of these fields because we do expect widespread precipitation to evolve. A storm system expected to move into the plains and western Corn Belt tonight will advance its way across the heart of the Midwest as we go through the day Thursday and Friday, and actually will take its sweet time getting through the eastern Midwest. It may be Sunday before we're done with the showers in at least the northern half of the eastern part of the Corn Belt. This rain event is likely to set off some 1 to 2 inch plus amounts of rainfall for the eastern Dakotas, parts of Minnesota, and portions of Iowa and Wisconsin. Maybe even as part of Illinois will end up with some hefty amounts of rain, probably in the north, and we'll see some of that work its way into Michigan as well. The rains should diminish somewhat as they go across the rest of the eastern Midwest. The unfortunate part of this whole thing is that this isn't the only storm we have to deal with in the next week. There will be a second system that will be coming in on the heels of this first one, and that will take place starting on Sunday night into Monday in the plains and western Corn Belt. And it will come running across the rest of the Midwest as we go Tuesday, Wednesday, and possibly into Thursday of next week. Not a lot of sunshine expected over this next 7 days. And like I said, there's going to be enough moisture out there. It's going to be really difficult to get some field work accomplished.
Cool, wet weather. That'll be great for ear rot, I suppose. not much else. Producers will not be happy. And another system after that. When you look further out, is this persistent over the next month, or does it dry out at some point?
It does dry out, but it's a temporary drying. We will see that take place most likely after about the 9th or 10th. I guess it's probably the 9th of October will start drying down, and we'll be dry for about a 5 to 7 day period there. We'll have a lot of cool air coming in during that period of time, so it'll be a little bit sluggish on drying out some of these wet fields, but we will get it done. And field work will likely start up again. My concern is that we get into the second half of October, we'll probably see this process repeated over again, where we go back into a period of wet weather for a period of a week to maybe as much as 10 days, and then drying back down again after that. And not to make matters worse for the old psyche, but November doesn't look a whole lot better.
Oh, very nice. Maybe you better take us out west. Will they have any better luck putting the wheat crop in the ground?
Actually, they're going to do very well with that. The moisture profile out there in much of the plains right now is quite favorable. There are actually a few areas that are a little bit on the dry side, but I think these two storm systems coming up this week will help to fill that gap quite favorably, and the crops will come around fairly swiftly. We've already got, of course, a fair amount of the crop in the ground, and that crop will likely benefit tremendously from the moisture that is going to occur this coming week, and we should get some good establishment going.
Your view of South America.
Well, it looks like conditions are going to get awful wet in Brazil, and it's very typical for an El Nino year to have too much moisture around at times during the spring, and I think we're working our way into that very quickly here. The ground is already saturated from Rio Grande do Sul into portions of Sao Paulo, and over the next week, we're going to see some additional heavy rain across this very same area, as well as in southern parts of Minas Gerais and perhaps in a portion of Mato Grosso do Sul.
Drew, thanks so much.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Hey, you too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. That's the closing market report from Illinois Public Media. You have a great day. I'm Todd Gleason.